It's good to be with all of you and to have this opportunity to continue our exploration of habits of mind and how they shape or influence how we're moving through the world, sometimes in ways that are helpful, sometimes in ways that are hindering. And we'll begin with a practice that lets us continue to explore that lived experience of habits of mind in the moment, and then we'll take some time to visit with the fourth hindrance of restlessness, which I think in these agitating times is probably one we all know to varying degrees. I know it's one that visits this mind and heart quite frequently. So I invite each of you to open to the possibility of settling into practice. And given the times that we're living in, settling is often not an easy process, not an easy practice. So I might invite you to let there be a generosity of space and time here in these first few minutes of practice to find a slow and gentle entry into settling. It might be a few moments or minutes with the eyes open, you know, looking around and the gaze perhaps slowly and gradually gathering or simplifying with the eyes half closed. So it may be the eyes that gently gather and help ground you. It might be that there's some gentle movement. You know, sometimes when we pause in our day and we stop, the body's not quite ready to stop. So as you come into some measure of stillness for your practice, you might discover that the body needs a particular last stretch before letting go, or an adjusting of posture. So gifting yourself an opportunity to discover your arrival in this moment, to discover how to arrange the body, whether it's sitting or lying down, or perhaps even standing. Noticing the points of contact where your body is in connection with a surface. And seeing if it's possible to more fully receive the support offered by this surface. Letting yourself be held. And seeing if there's some measure of releasing or relaxing that can happen in response to the presence of support. Sometimes the presence of physical support can help us begin to settle. It might calm or soothe the restlessness in the body or in the mind. You might also take a few moments to bring into awareness the support of sitting here together in community. How the container of Sangha, like-hearted friends, provides another form of holding that also can contribute to a measure of settling. A softening of restlessness. And as you gradually arrive more fully in this moment, having slowed down, having come into perhaps some measure of relative stillness, tuning in to the energy of the body and the mind in this moment. Is there a sense of vitality or exhaustion? Quality of being over-energized or agitated. under-energized or sluggish. However you are in this moment is just fine. There's nothing to fix or change or figure out. You might invite in a few longer, slower, deeper breaths. And if the body and or the mind in some way is feeling low energy, dull or sluggish, you might bring particular attention to the inhalation. Inviting in the enlivening quality of the breath. And if somehow you're feeling agitated or overexcited in body or mind, you might let your focus be more fully with the exhalation. Opening to the releasing and relaxing that can sometimes come with the out-breath. The breath can often be a balancing. And stabilizing energy for the mind and body. Just opening to the easeful, natural rhythm of the breath. In whatever way feels right for you in these next few minutes. noticing the energy of the mind in this moment, right here. Often the energy of mind or body provides a clue that a hindrance is present. There might be a tension or a vibration. We can slow down, pause. Notice what's here. And if you notice a hindering energy, can you recognize it? Name it. A wanting. We're not wanting. A dullness or low energy. Or maybe an agitation. Sometimes it can help to just silently name it, note it. Oh, restlessness. Restlessness is here. Bringing a interest, friendly curiosity to exploring the experience of restlessness. What's it like in the body? Buzzing, jittery, tense. Can it be felt in the whole body or just in particular parts of the body? Does it move and change? Or does it stay in one place? Checking in for any thoughts or attitudes or beliefs that might be present. believing in this moment. Where is the mind traveling to? Past, future, something here in the present. Maybe there's a belief that life is overwhelming. This is too much. I can't do this. This shouldn't be happening. Noticing how these thoughts or beliefs might be expressing in the body, might be fueling the hindrance. Being aware of how pausing and recognizing and feeling into the hindrance impacts experience. Maybe the hindrance intensifies or softens. Maybe there's a little perspective or peace. You might invite a half smile to your face to remind yourself to bring a quality of compassion, patience, care to this hindrance and to yourself. And if you become aware of moments when the restlessness quiets, when there's a measure of calm or ease, let yourself feel the freedom in that. Don't miss the moments when the hindrances are absent. Or more in the background. Let yourself rest into the relief that can come when we're not so entangled. As we come to the final few minutes of our practice, once again, noticing your energy. You might reflect on how having a more balanced energy might be a gift not only for your own nervous system, but might contribute to a more balanced energy in the world. And how this can bring a clarity of mind, an opening of heart that could support a world in which all beings experience more peace, ease, safety, and freedom. May it be so. So we've been on this journey with the five hindrances, and yeah, we've met with desire and aversion last week with sloth and torpor, or that low energy of mind and body. And this week, the fourth hindrance of restlessness, sometimes it's known as restlessness and remorse, sometimes restlessness and worry. There's two words that are part of the description of this hindrance, and so the restlessness part of it is sometimes translated as, you know, literally to shake. So there's like that quality of agitation, over-energized, over-excitement. And, you know, I think that many of us can relate to that, right? We actually live quite, many of us, quite over-energized lives. You know, we live in a culture that is often engaged in constant activity. People are always moving, you know, we have very full schedules, or, you know, which may or may not be true for all of you given the stages of life that you're in, but you probably can relate to how there's a pressured quality to our culture in many ways. And so many of us have practiced this energy in our nervous system, sometimes for decades or a lifetime, and restlessness can present itself physically. So in the body, there can be kind of that jitteriness, a vibration, a sense of, oh, I can't get comfortable, I fidget, I'm moving, I can't settle. And there's a mental quality. You know, sometimes this is the busy mind, really pressured thinking, scattered thinking. You know, there's a difficulty in focusing, in collecting the mind or the attention. There's also, and this is where sometimes that second quality that sometimes is labeled as regret, but in modern context is probably more accurately described as worry. It's the quality of mind that jumps to the past, you know, where there might be regrets, there might be a sense of remorse. Sometimes we're also pulled into the past, you know, for pleasant reasons. We're just engaged in just a cascade of pleasant remembering, you know, and that can be restlessness too. Sometimes it pulls us into the future, you know, we're anticipating difficulty or challenges. Sometimes we're planning, we're rehearsing, we're practicing, you know, that conversation that we have to have that's going to be a little uncomfortable. And sometimes there's a pleasant quality in future, you know, restlessness, a fantasizing, a daydreaming. It's like, oh, that vacation, or, you know, whatever it might be, that really good meal I'm going to have after meditation, you know, like, what am I going to put on that sandwich? And there can also be restlessness or overwhelm in the here and now. You know, there's something about what's happening that we're really chewing on. And it can be helpful to just reflect, is that restlessness serving? Is it helpful? Or is it just somehow making us feel better, like I'm doing something about this? A lot of restlessness and agitation in the mind is the attempt to do something, and we end up in that monkey mind energy, right? We're just swinging from one thought to the next thought, right? Barely have let go of this one, and something else has come along. And restlessness can even show up in meditation. You've probably noticed this, right? The snow globe of the mind is settling, and it's such a deep habit that, like, even on retreats, longer retreats, the mind can settle, and all of a sudden it gets restless or excited, sometimes about meditation, you know, to be sitting there, and it's like, wow, this is great. I'm doing a great job. Meditation's going really well. And all of a sudden, there's like this flurry of energy or thinking. So, you know, again, these habits, it's really important to remember these are normal human habits. It's not personal weakness. It's not a mistake. The invitation is to really get to know these habits. And restlessness is, for many people, particularly uncomfortable. You know, that, ooh, I feel a little bit like I want to crawl out of my skin. Or, you know, I just, it's really hard to sit here. You know, you slow down for meditation and you kind of just want to jump out of your seat. And so it's often uncomfortable in both the body and mind, and we often don't want to look at restlessness. You know, we want to distract from it, ignore it, get rid of it. And so then, oh, all of a sudden, there's aversion to restlessness. So we have another hindrance that's coming into the picture. And aversion to restlessness actually just creates more restlessness. So paradoxically, when we can bring a curiosity, when we can turn toward, when we can sit with and look at restlessness, we have a better chance of the restlessness settling than when we fight with it. So how might we work with restlessness? I'll just share a few thoughts before we have some time to explore together. You know, sometimes when there's an abundance of restlessness, a moving meditation can be helpful. Walking or some Tai Chi or gentle yoga, whatever your movement practice might be. And that might be as a prelude to sitting. It might be the focus of your practice. That's particularly helpful often if there's a lot of restlessness in the body. A moving meditation might be compassionate and skillful. And even if the restlessness is really mostly in the mind, that movement can sometimes release some of that energy and allow the mind to settle as well. Sometimes when the mind is really restless, more structure in meditation can be helpful. We haven't done this for a while, but I know at times we've played with meditations that involve like a counting of the breath, right? Like, you know, you can count one and two up to 10 and then start again, 1 to 10. So sometimes adding in just a little bit of simple mental activity, it's a skillful distraction from the spinning of the mind that can sometimes settle the thoughts. Sometimes when the mind is really restless, widening the view can be helpful. So we've worked with sound. I know a few months ago, maybe weeks, I don't remember, we did a hearing meditation again. And so sometimes sounds, you know, help give a little more space. It's a little bit like if you have a horse, you know, and you put it in a corral, a small, you know, stall in the barn, and if that horse is agitated, it doesn't have very much space to move. If you put that same horse out in the field and it gets to run, you know, that agitation has more space around it. So that's a bit like what sound meditation does for the restless mind. There's more space around it, and so sometimes the mind just naturally settles. And then sometimes the antidote or a way of working skillfully is to work directly with the restlessness, with the hindrance, when it's accessible in this way. Because some of you may have heard the word samadhi. It's sometimes used in meditation communities. And samadhi is really a quality of collectedness of mind. Unification of mind. It's a gathering of awareness or attention. And if you think about it, if restlessness is a scattering of mind, samadhi could be a good antidote, right? A way of gathering the mind. So sometimes it's gathering awareness to the breath and breathing into and through restlessness. So there's a focal point for attention. Sometimes it's gathering that awareness and investigating restlessness itself. So we pause and we sort of, as I did in the guided meditation at one point, pausing, and if you notice the presence of a hindrance, and the one I walked us through today was restlessness. If restlessness is there and you recognize it, can you name it? Oh, restlessness. This is restlessness. And then to investigate it, you know, we've worked over time with the RAIN practice, right? Recognize, allow, investigate, nurture. And this isn't necessarily a full RAIN practice, so you could bring RAIN to restlessness if you wanted to in that form. But recognizing it and then becoming intimate with it. What's it like in the body? What thoughts are fueling the restlessness? What are you believing in this moment? Oh, I'm believing, you know, I shouldn't be restless. I'm believing meditation's about making me calm. I believe that life is just too overwhelming right now to find peace. I mean, any of these thoughts that might be floating in the background of our awareness might be fueling agitation. So we can pause, recognize, feel the restlessness, and then notice what impact it has to recognize and feel it. Often just doing that will have a bit of a settling effect. And it's really important to bring patience and good humor and kindness to ourselves. Restlessness is a particularly strong habit pattern for many people. And even if you follow classical Buddhist teachings, when they talk about enlightenment, restlessness is one of the last things to go. So this is a habit that's with us till pretty much the end. So it's not, again, it's not a personal failing. And so, you know, in the meditation at one point, I invited in a half smile, you know, bringing in some kindness for the restlessness. And as we understand the hindrances, you know, as we understand restlessness more deeply, it can open other doorways for settling, you know. So for instance, restlessness, worry, planning mind sometimes comes out of aversion. Like, I don't like this. It shouldn't be this way. I'm scared of this. So if you notice that, it's like, oh, there's some fear here. Can I bring compassion to that fear? And if we actually care about the fear, sometimes the restlessness falls away. because we've actually attended to whatever is triggering the restlessness. And then the last thing I might say is, you know, generalizing this to daily life, there's often a lot of restlessness, and it can help to check in, are we bringing good self-care to our lives? Are we getting enough sleep? Are we eating well? Are we exercising? Are we engaged in things that bring us a measure of joy and a sense of connection? That can decrease restlessness in daily life. So this is a really rich hindrance in many ways, and I'd love to gift you a chance to connect with each other, and if you wish, and I'll create a couple of breakout rooms and give you a few minutes to chat with each other about your relationship with restlessness, about how you've skillfully worked with it, and I invite you to enjoy each other, and I'll look forward to seeing you back here soon. So welcome back. I thought I'd close today with just a poem that points toward this friendliness that we are cultivating with the hindrances. And it's entitled Intimate with All Things by Dana Faulds. The Buddha said, I am intimate with all things. Imagine that. To be on the same close terms with suffering and panic as bliss and rapture. To know the souls of water buffalo as surely as my own. To push away nothing. To let the sweet or bitter taste of life linger. To see the beloved in everything. And when that isn't my experience, to be intimate with self-hatred, unmet preferences, and the many ways I don't show up as saintly. Imagine that. So, I invite you this week to, you know, keep looking at, leaning in and looking at the hindrances, befriending them, getting to know them. If you like a particular focus on restlessness this week, if that happens to be alive for you, and if not, you know, let your investigation be with whichever hindrance is visiting. And next week we'll meet our fifth hindrance and probably complete this series. So take good care, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week. Bye. Hmm.